100 Word Stories. Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast, One A Day Until the Day I Die.com. Check your calendars. Well, if you're listening to this today, which, what is today? I mean, is it Sunday? Is it Monday? That's the thing about podcasting. You can put it up and then who knows when people are going to listen. There is the possibility that people are listening to this at a time when there are no Sundays, Mondays have finally been outlawed, Tuesdays, I mean, maybe Ruby Tuesdays, trademark Tuesday, and they got to come up with something else. Wednesday, I mean, Wednesday Adams, Thursday, I don't know. Maybe every day is Friday now. Stuff like that. I doubt it, though. By then, the whole internet will have collapsed, or there'll be corporate sponsorships of every day. I have no idea. Once corporate sponsorships take over the week, you think independent podcasting will still exist? No. I don't think so. All right, it's 100 Word Stories Podcast, One A Day Until the Day I Die.com. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. It's time for the weekly challenge, where I post a topic, you come up with the stories. How's that for a deal? Have you come up with the stories? Well, let's take a look at my inbox. And, yeah, well, not as many as usual, but it was a very hard topic. Sargon, Hammurabi, Ashurbanipal, and Gilgamesh. Not very easy at all. I mean, that I had a hard time with it. That's why I let Planet Z do all my stuff. So, let's take a look here. Yeah, there's... Really, this was a challenge. All the other ones were like, hey, it's a challenge. And then, like, you know, it's like double dare on Nickelodeon. Oh, boy, green slime. Yeah, that doesn't wash out. Maybe if it were sulfuric acid, huh? So the big challenge for me has been losing all this weight. You've been dealing with me bitching about the treadmill and all that crap. Started at 270 pounds. For those of you on the metric system, it's 270 pounds. And right now, starting February, I'm getting real close to 240. I mean, I was all bitchy and whiny about the fact that I couldn't get under 242 at the end of the month. And then, well, you know, do I have to get into gross technical detail? Oh, man, what a dump. Oh, so, yeah, I've just, you know, 3 minutes in, and I'm already going TMI. Maybe I should shut up now. So, but the big goal, 180, I've done it before. I'm at the point where I was getting serious the last time about, what, 4 or 5 years ago? So, yeah, it's going to suck. But this time, no French fries, no potatoes, none of the bullshit. The ice cream that I got to show Tinny, because she's 10 rib swirl, I've only had like one tiny bowl of it. It wasn't really a bowl, it's like a cup. So I'm being good. And even though I'm only losing 5 to 6 pounds a month compared to 8 or 9 last time, hey, I'm a little older, okay? Really? Plus I got so much to lose. And I gotta be careful. I mean, I'm older, therefore my heart's weaker and all that crap. I'm an old man. I know some of you who are up there in years are like, oh, shut up, youngster. Yeah, shut up, Beck. Feels like it. But I'm on the treadmill at least an hour in the morning and an hour in the afternoon when I get home from work, or, you know, there's always something on. I mean, Saturday and Sunday, it's hard. I mean, yesterday was the whole NFL. Oh, to see if J.J. Watt was the MVP. No, he wasn't, but he got close. But, you know, Defensive Player of the Year, not bad. Congratulations to him. And then today is, Super Bowl. I don't really care about it. Chris Collins, what's ruining it is Chris Collinsworth is on the broadcast team. It's like, really? Ugh. I mean, that's a reason not to watch football on Sunday nights. I mean, switch it to the Spanish channel. You'll learn Spanish before you listen to his ass. But really, I want to watch the Kitten Bowl. Because they are so cute. All right. So, I babbled enough. Or do you think I'm babbling enough? I know you want me to babble in between stories, but I'm just... have I given all the reasons for that? One of these days, I'll just ramble through all the reasons. And some of them, you'll be like, yeah, that's kind of fair. And others can be like, really? So, what do you think my reasons are? I don't know, just... it's Sunday morning, I'm tired. That's my big excuse. I'm lazy. I'm like, how can you be lazy if you're writing a story a day and all? Well, they're only 100 words long. It's not like I'm writing Anna Karenina every... Is it Karenina? I read it once, I think. I'm not sure. You know you're getting older when you forget the books you read. That means you can read them all over again. And then the back of your brain say, oh, yeah, I read that. Oh, shit. Or, oh, I saw that movie. This is how it ends. Crap. That's kind of sad. I really should be doing laundry, but I've got enough clothes now that I can last 2 weeks instead of one, so the piles can get real big, then I can do it all at once, then hang it up all at once. I need more hangers. I need more closet space. We need a freaking house. Oh, that's right. I'm supposed to pay the rent today, too. See how my mind works? It just all jumbles. I've got a reminder in my phone. It says, pick up the envelope with the amount that I'm supposed to, because we have to pay a share of the water bill, too, which means the water bill is shared. So it's like, okay, sure, why not? Tragedy of the commons. I'm going to take baths every day. 2 times. 15 times a day. I'm just going to build my own freaking hot tub and then put a treadmill in it. So, is that enough rambling? Is that enough ego for you? All right, so that's it for me. I will pass the mic to you, the first person up that gets mentioned, blah, 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 Anna Zabaleta. She sent in a few stories in advance because she's off somewhere having an adventure. So while she's out on adventures, we get to enjoy this.
Good morning. It's Anima. This week's submission, 458, is called The Mesopotamians. The wheels had fallen off the van again. Damn it, Hammurabi! Did you tighten the lug nuts? Now there's no way we'll make the gig in Hoboken. Who, me? Man, you know I can't remember chit. That's why I'm the singer and not the drummer. Relax, I know what we can do. I'll say a prayer to Ishtar and sacrifice a goat. Sorry, Larry. She and I had a thing back in Cali, so I know Tari will help us out. Plus, I think I left my favorite armband in her couch. Larry, what do you say about that? Bah! All based on the There Might Be Giants song. Yay. Have a great week.
Before the Old Testament by John Musico. The archaeologist beamed as he brushed off a clay tablet in the Mesopotamian ruins. Carbon dating came back as 3,000 years B.C., long before the Old Testament. The glyphs inscribed on the tablet read that the world was created by the devil for his amusement and had always been evil. Eventually, the devil became bored. He created God so there would be some contrast to better appreciate all his evil. Upon death, any good man would be cheated of the vices of hell. No philandering, boozing it up, no freedom to swear, etc. Good men were to be banished to heaven. Heaven, 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 heaven.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher. A little sad not to be a clockwork ninja anymore, but all good things must come to an end. But nonetheless, I'm here for week 458 on the topic of Sargon, etc., 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 you know, the Mesopotamians. And I've got two stories. My first story is called Chess Master. Paul, as the school chess champ, everyone wants to take you down. Now the science club wants to play you in 6 simultaneous games. Eh, no thanks. I've seen them play before. They might think they're good, but, well, Deep Blue they're not. On a good day, their best player might beat Sargon. Sargon? Never heard of it. Oh, sure. It was a chess program for the Apple II, among other platforms. When I wanted to be a chess champion, I begged my dad for a copy. Sargon wasn't on par with the giants of the field, but it was good to learn on. Anyway, forget the science club. 6 games with them is no challenge at all. It would be like playing a Mesopotamian. And now it's time for our sponsor break. Have you been involved in a camel accident? Threatened with being stoned to death by an angry king for apostasy that you didn't commit? Accused of summoning an evil genie to do your bidding? Well, you have rights, and you're not alone. Contact Sargon, Hammurabi, Ashurbanipal, and Gilgamesh, attorneys at law. We're here to fight to the death for your rights. Disclaimer, actual fight may or may not occur. The phrase, to the death, is a metaphor and not to be taken literally, except in the unfortunate event it happens to be your death. Seek medical help for state of nirvana lasting more than 4 hours, void where prohibited by law. And my second story is called Names. I don't like it when countries change names of things. Like what? The big city in China, for instance. It's now Beijing, right? But we used to call it Peking. Or Bombay is now Mumbai. Crazy, right? Now I have to learn new names for things. You're an old reactionary. Those changes are to make the names closer to what the natives call those places. Westerners tried pronouncing foreign words and something got lost in the translation. You wouldn't want some foreigner renaming Philadelphia just because it's hard for him to pronounce, would you? It's not just pronunciation. Mesopotamia. Yeah, what about it? Once it had powerful rulers like Hammurabi or Gilgamesh. Now it's partly in Iraq, partly in Iran, etc. You can't tell me that's just because we were pronouncing it wrong. Now you're just being silly. Mesopotamia was a region. Countries are countries. They couldn't all be called Mesopotamia. So be fair. It's not like countries just change their names of cities for the hell of it. Well, don't try telling that to the natives of Saigon. I mean, Ho Chi Minh City. And after all, Istanbul was once Constantinople. And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Good morning, everyone. This is Richard, and before I start, I'd just like to say a heartfelt thank you to Lawrence for such a wonderful subject this week. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Did that sound sincere? I hope so. I've been practicing it all week. Anyway, here's my first story. It's George's story, part 91, The Mesopotamians. They say the great kings of Mesopotamia, Sargon, Hammurabi, Ashurbanipal, and Gilgamesh, were considered to be gods. If George had been living in ancient Mesopotamia, then his status, based upon the withering look the woman now gave him, was somewhere between something nasty you scrape off your shoe and 6-week-old potato peelings. This way, she commanded him brusquely. George Atwell, she announced, entering a room containing a desk, behind which sat 3 smiling men. The woman guided George to the chair, gave him a look reserved for the Mesopotamian equivalent of a wet fart, and left the room. And here's my second story. 6th attempt, something of a record for me. It's called What's in a Name. Sargon, Hammurabi, Ashurbanipal, Gilgamesh, Harris had a pretty rotten childhood, as you would expect, being named after a bunch of Mesopotamians. It was all his father's fault. A huge fan of the group They Might Be Giants, who chose to name his son in honour of his favourite song. Understandably, Sargon became a bit of a recluse, avoiding going out in public as much as possible, and spending entire weekends holed up in his bedroom. But he had to go to school. Every Monday morning he'd leave the house knowing the nightmare facing him. It was a fiendish weekly challenge. And I think I need say no more. Until next week, folks. Goodbye.
Tura Brazoinu here, with a story about the Mesopotamians. And as a historical footnote, the cat was first domesticated in ancient Mesopotamia. "What are men to us?" declared Sargon. Hammurabi purred. "They give us their best food, and warmth, and leisure." "In the palaces," snorted Gilgamesh, "the rest have us only to keep down the mice." "Where we succeed, we starve," observed Ashurbanipal, "and must scavenge their rubbish heaps." Sargon snarled, "Let us return to hunting the creatures of the plain." "We are too long among men," sighed Hammurabi. Gilgamesh concluded, "Then we must make our own place here, not become slaves like man's dogs." And so Gilgamesh, Hammurabi, and Ashurbanipal entered the houses of man, but Sargon returned to the wild.
Across America, starting at... Where...
I received a
letter... You are now tuned to Channel Spate, where Spate whistles 100 words in the dark. For weekly challenge 458, using the topic of Sargon, Hammurabi, Ashurbanipal, and Gilgamesh, the Mesopotamians, Spate's story is called, "They Might Be Terrorists." Let's blow it up into giant proportions now.
Breaking news just in. Four suspected Muslim extremists were caught crossing the border near Bisbee, Arizona overnight. The men, claiming to be Mesopotamian musicians, were apprehended when their mink birdhouse delivery van sustained severe tire damage and got flooded with desert sand. Asked what they were doing there, they stated that they got lost. Two of the men were originally from Massachusetts, but reportedly have ties to a rogue terror cell in Istanbul. The Department of Homeland Security suspects they had planned on attacking the San Francisco Noise Pop Festival using improvised weapons of sarcastic wit and quirky infectious melodies.
Well, that's it. Thank you listeners for listening and thank you Lawrence for hosting, or ushering, or usher hosting. Hope everyone's week plays out like a quirky infectious melody. Until next time.
This is Serendipity. And here's my story for this week.
We're the Mesopotamians, Sargon, Hammurabi, Ashurbanipal, and Gilgamesh.
You may have heard of Sargon, Hammurabi, Ashurbanipal, and Gilgamesh, the Mesopotamians. But the chances are, you've never heard of me. There's a very good reason for that. For I am Nunvarsegunu Madhantana, Bushari Nabuk, Sariwan, the greatest and most feared of all the queens of the ancient world. My name is both blessing and a curse to those who utter it. A blessing for those who speak my name without fear, fault or fumbling, for they escape with their lives. As for those who stumble, stutter or struggle, they are sliced, diced, and fed to the pigs. Nobody takes my name in vain.
Hello, Night People. Tom here, and I've got stories for you. A continuation of a well-defined relationship, part 87. It was painfully apparent El Cid would be of little or no use helping Timmy find a way out. A memory of his father settled in his thoughts. Sometimes the way out is the way in. I gotta think outside the box. Making direct eye contact with the dealer, Timmy rolled his hand across the table and said, "Deal." Tamburlaine let a wry smile flash, broke the seal on a package of Dal Negras. Timmy tapped his two. The dealer laid out four kings, Sargon, Hammurabi, Ashurbanipal, and Gilgamesh. "So we're playing Mesopotamians. Tell me the tale of Sargon." And a well-defined relationship, part 88. Babe in a basket set adrift on the great river. Raised by the gardener of the emperor, he grew strong in Ananda's protection, wine-bearer of the court, who troubled the dreams of Ur-Zabata the Great. Banished to the land of Urk, carrying a seal calling for his own death. But there, did take the city, then all of Sumer. He fell many great walls, was a progenitor of writing, defended against the Elam, the model ruler to the ages. Written in the book, he is Nimrod. He is the first. Do you choose him? Tell me of Hammurabi. And next, a well-defined relationship, part 89. He took sleepy Babylon, made it the jewel of the Fertile Crescent. Great powers fell and became part of his vast domain. Of all his deeds, the most glorious was separating the law from the rule. He created a code independent of the power of the throne. Further, to each corner of his kingdom, he placed stone steles engraved for all to see and know the law, precise and immutable. Harsh was the law, an eye for an eye. But better by far than blood feuds spawning generations. Hammurabi, giver of the law, do you choose him? Tell me of Ashurbanipal. And onward, a well-defined relationship, part 90. He was a lion of the Assyrians, who ruled from great Nineveh and did there establish a library of 30,000 clay tablets. The tale of Gilgamesh was stored. King of the universe, he called himself, but shared his rule with his beloved brother. He defeated the Nubian king of Egypt and claimed Memphis as his prize. Noble to his people, a demon to his defeated. He put a dog chain through the jaw of a defeated king and made him live in a dog's kennel. Ashurbanipal, preserver of the word, do you choose him? Tell me of Gilgamesh. And the last section of a well-defined relationship, part 91. Almighty Gilgamesh, whose tale has journeyed across the universe, but at its core is a simple story of friendship and loss. He bridled chaos with the love of a woman to create the wild, civilized man, upon whose death would cause the great search for Xisophorus in an effort to beat death itself. Was his search in vain, Master Parsons? No, it is not, said Timmy, pulling the card from the table, turning over his two, the Ace of Hearts and the Suicide King. I will take from the snake what he stole. Timmy turned to the dark mirror. And that's it for this week.
Greetings, Februarians. Munzee here, with a story for your enjoyment and tying into the whole February80s hashtag thing I'm doing this month. A month worth of stories about songs from the 80s. Because what the hell, right? Let's roll. The B-52s by Christopher Monroe. Don't get me wrong, I love the B-52s. Classic new wave band. Rome, Summer of Love, Good Stuff, all brilliant. However, the song Mesopotamia, I'm out. It's just that they have moments where they're too cutesy by half, and by "there's a lot of ruins in Mesopotamia," I can't deal with it. However, I am still feeling the 80s vibe, so I switched to Adam Ant. You might agree with this decision, you might not. That's fine. I'm used to it. It happens all the time. All of those who get to know me become admirers or my enemies. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at MunzyMunzy. That's my story, Februarians. I hope you've enjoyed it. And with that, I shall return you to your lives, no wiser for my having spoken.
Hello, everyone. Lizzie here. This is my story for this week. Getting lost in the desert was as far from their plan as going to the moon. The ill-organized adventure ended with a group of four friends stuck in a van. 6 months later, when the police finally found them, they were mummified. Years of studies followed with no results, until, surprisingly, they came back to life. "We told you not to touch that stone!" A pursuit ensued, three furious men chasing another. The authorities, perplexed, ran after them too. Last time that long line of people running was seen, it was heading towards somewhere. Well, at least the line was organized. This is my story for this week. Drop on my blog at lizzygoodcough.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Hello, this is Philip Norville Joe Carroll of NorvilleJoe.com, and this is my submission, maybe, entry for the weekly challenge number 458 with a prompt of the Mesopotamians. I'm not going to try saying their names more than once. Anyway, I'd like to thank whoever came out for my release of Shooting Stars. I beg you to read it, write a review on Amazon. I'd really, really, really appreciate it. I'm not giving up yet. It's just the start of my platform. I guess that's what they call it now, if you're in the know. This is my platform. And my next step is a podcast novel. The novel is The Pariah, and it will be on iTunes hopefully soon. It's the rundown on it is on Patreon.com. I don't know if you're familiar with Patreon, but look at patreon.com/NorvilleJoe, spelled just as it sounds, and you can see all the information about it. Anyway, here's my story for the weekly challenge. I dated a girl in high school who named all of her pets after famous people. I thought that sounded like a good idea because you could sound like someone who's deeply creative or very well-read. I named a long-haired chihuahua Sargon. I thought it sounded powerful. The dog ran away. I had a pot-bellied pig, who I named Hammurabi. It disappeared when my house was broken into. I named a parakeet Ashurbanipal. It caught a cold and died. All I have now is a goldfish I won at a carnival. That's right. I named it Gilgamesh. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Gilgamesh, give me a break.
Our first computer was an Apple II Plus. We bought a few games for it, such as Space Eggs and Wizardry. Then there were the pirated games that friends at school passed around. A second floppy drive made it easier to copy those discs for others. Some of them were flawed copies, but the games were so engaging, we promised to buy them for real. You know, because the game companies depended on that revenue to pay programmers to make more. But much as we played Sargon's chess, we never bought it. I mean, he died centuries ago, right?
And that's it for the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge this week on the topic of Sargon, Hammurabi, Ashurbanipal, and Gilgamesh, the Mesopotamians. I'm sure you've been watching that video over and over for inspiration. I know I have. I just watch it over and over anyway. I love it. Although, How Stuff Works on YouTube, that's my favorite. And then I've been binging on Netflix a whole bunch of History 2, so that's some crazy stuff. And Extant, oh, that's a fun series. Kind of creepy. And Halle Berry, I mean, come on. So, oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Share it, spread it, get it out there. Or more importantly, save your effort. Why don't you work on your story? The topic is eat. I know that everyone eats, everybody poops, everybody pees. If you don't, you probably won't last until next week. That's it. Thank you all for listening and being part of a challenge. And as always, keep it brief.